League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Big news! Wayfair's biggest sale of the season is here. It's Black Friday in July. Right now, score up to 80% off everything home at Wayfair. Get our lowest prices of the summer for 5 days only. Plus, amazing doorbuster deals and 24-hour surprise flash deals with fast and free shipping site-wide. So don't wait. Head to Wayfair.com today to score up to 80% off now through July 28th.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
To get into the show, I just wanted to tell you about Underdog Fantasy. They are, of course, the sponsor of the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. You can deposit using the promo code GRID. There is a link to Underdog Fantasy for you to sign up in the show notes for this podcast. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on the desktop. When you sign up with the promo code GRID, G-R-I-D, you are going to get one free wager inside of their pick'em game. And then when you win that, because we know that you will, you'll be able to enter into all the NFL contests that they're doing. They have the Battle Royale. They have, of course, the pick'em game, the rival game, lots of very cool stuff happening. They also have a best ball basketball tournament and a best ball hockey tournament for you guys to get in there. And now let's go ahead and get into the show. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. You also might be listening to this on the Roto Grinders Daily Fantasy Podcast feed, or the Daily Fantasy Football feed. I'm Davis Maddock, joined by Sammy Reed and Nate Noling. If you guys want to jump in and play against the cash teams that we're talking about next week, you can send invites to me, Davis Maddock on DraftKings. Sammy, for some reason, is Whirling Dervish, D-E. R-V-I-S-H. Worst name on DraftKings, I think.
It's so bad, Sammy.
Is just Nate N.
It's so bad, Sammy.
It's really bad.
You know, I didn't, back when I made it, I didn't realize I'd be doing a show called The Gilcast, where, you know, I had to put it out in public. It's for Magic the Gathering. Like you guys don't know what's up with MTG, but the real OGs do.
No, we're young enough that we grew up with video games. We didn't have to make up games on paper because by candlelight.
Damn it.
Oil burner.
Oh, I'm getting wasted already. This is going to be a long show.
Well, both of you guys are in for a long show because your teams are really bad. My team was really good. Nice little change from the first 2 weeks. Week one, having to late swap. Sammy should have been the late swapper this week, but he didn't. So I'm giving you the fish of the day for not late swapping Sammy, because even though your team ended up scoring more points than Nate, you get fish of the day for not late swapping.
Well, in fairness to me, I did late swap some teams, the double ups. I late swapped. But I stayed the course in head-to-heads. So that's the one we're talking about.
Yeah. I actually had to swap. I got scored 200 on in a 109. Someone scored 200 against me. So I had to swap in that game because they played Josh Allen against me. But yeah so this is, I scored 167. Sammy scored 143 on his non-swap team. And Nate scored 131. Both of you guys made terrible choices today. Nate's really tilting, so I'm going to start with Sammy. Why did you come into this slate saying I just got to get Derrick Henry? I just got to jam Derrick Henry. And why don't you lead me down that thought process?
Well, I mean, my team was, I played Fields at QB, at RB I played Henry, Barkley, and Madison. At receiver, I went Cup, Godwin, Osborne, and then Hockenson at tight end, and the Bengals DST. When it came to the big dog, man, I mean, we talked about this last week, but one of the big things about the big dog is he's starting to see a lot more work through the air. And if you're going to have a guy whose team is fully committed to him, where he's just getting a ton of rushes all the time, but he's also getting work through the air, I just wanted to have him. I was sick and tired of the big dog crushing me. And like he should have had a smash game, man. He had 28 rushes. He had three targets. I mean, I would do it again. Like, I don't know what to say.
You would do it again even after seeing the results of what you wrought. Also, why did you play Justin Fields instead of Daniel Jones when we told you to play Daniel Jones?
I mean, I like Daniel Jones. I had Jones in my original lineup, but when it was pretty clear that Dalvin was going to be out, I didn't want to play CEH, bro. Like CEH, I mean, and it just turned out that Henry,
that was mentally weak.
Because it turns out that Derrick Henry is literally just a fat CEH.
Yeah,
by like 2 points.
Okay, Sammy, it's not the Derrick Henry thing that I'm like shocked about. It's the fact that you paid down at quarterback, but also took a potential zero at wide receiver in Osborne. Like, you don't pay down at quarterback and then also punt off another spot. You pay down at quarterback so that you don't have to take a potential zero. You played two guys who have a combined floor of like six in cash games.
Well, you know, I think I underestimated the egregiousness that Justin Fields could have brought, and it was pretty apparent. Like,
I mean, I was very surprised. I will say, I think you ran bad to get what Fields got. He got like 3 points or whatever. I mean, I thought like 12 was probably the worst he could have done.
He had one pass attempt and one rush attempt, like halfway through the second quarter, and it was like, dude, what is going on here? I thought that. You know, Fields, I mean, he just obviously brings a ton of rushing upside. I wasn't expecting any 300-yard bonuses or whatever, but I kind of felt the same way as you, Davis, where, I thought his floor was higher than this, but, I mean, the reality is he's a guy making his first NFL start on the road in Cleveland, pretty good defense, bad game environment. I'm going to take the L on Fields, man. It was a tough scene. I'm not taking the L on Derrick Henry.
But it's not just Fields. I think if you would have done Fields and you would have gone with a different build, it would have been okay. Like
I messed up. The receiver that I liked for somewhat cheap was Tyler Boyd. I think he was 4.7.
Yeah.
And when
that's Higgins who I played.
When Higgins was ruled out, I thought Boyd was an extremely good play, and he was 1,200 more than Osborne.
Osborne.
And what I should have done is paid down at tight end.
Yeah. Higbee was the tight end play.
That's really what I should have done. Is done that. So I think that was the mistake that I made.
Fields. Really the core mistake, as I'm hearing you talk through this, your core mistake was that you were not mentally weak enough to trust the projections on CEH, and you were just like, nope. I'm not doing it.
Well, I mean, CEH was in my original lineup without Madison. It wasn't like I was anti CEH, but I really felt like he was a decidedly fourth best option.
If you didn't play CEH in cash this week, you were anti CEH. I mean, you like his price to that team total, workload.
He's been a $6,000 running back his whole career in KC.
Yeah, in overpriced 6K running back. I mean, the reality is he had not been seeing the work through the air.
And yeah, that's true. He really barely did in this game. He had two catches.
And you can get away with that at 4.8. Like I didn't think he was a bad play by any stretch. I thought his floor was pretty low, and I wasn't really sold on his ceiling. I think he just landed on that 100-yard bonus. Like he ended up having a fine day, but he still lost a fumble. I thought there was a somewhat of a chance that Andy Reid was like,
we're just going to bench him.
Yeah. Not put up with his shit and be like, yo, dude, you're splitting time with Darrell Williams now.
By the way, on the first drive that I thought we were in for it because Darrell Williams got a couple touches on the first Chiefs drive. But I think what ended up happening was what everyone said was going to happen, which is that the Chargers have been daring everybody to run. That's just all they've been doing. They did it in the first two games and seems like Staley is a smart coach. And that's what he did. He dared the Chiefs to run. And it worked. They lost. I mean, they lost due to the Chiefs turnover luck in the first half of the game. Like Marcus Kemp, a ball goes off of his hands. CH fumbles and Tyreek all fumbled all in the first quarter.
Tyreek was also, I don't know what his injury is, but he was hurt. I mean, he was holding his ribs the whole game. He was out for a bunch of drives. He was, I haven't heard injury reporting, but he wasn't himself at all. So like,
I noticed that Marcus Kemp and like Jody Ford, never really
been your strong suit. Remembering,
and it's without Tyreek, like that team, their offense does look a lot different, and I think that's part of what we're seeing. I'm surprised we haven't heard more on what is wrong with Tyreek, but he's clearly not 100% at all.
All right. Now, Sammy, we got to dunk on Nate for not playing the most obvious play of the week, which was Saquon Barkley at running back. I mean, this is indefensible stuff, Nate. I mean,
well, let's go over Nate's whole lineup, because it is really a thing to behold. I mean, it's something.
So Nate plays Lamar Jackson, Mike Davis, CH. What go through your lineup before you made the swaps.
All right. So it was Lamar Jackson, Mike Davis, CEH, Godwin, Cup, Woods, Hawkinson, Madison, and Titans D.
And Nate, can you tell me how owned Mike Davis was in cash games this week?
He was more owned than I thought he would be.
Yeah, between 10-15%, depending on the contest. I mean, going into this week, he was fourth in total expected points for all running backs behind McCaffrey.
Cordarrelle Patterson?
No, McCaffrey, Henry, Jonathan Taylor. So the top five in running back expected points going into week three was CMC, Henry, Taylor, Davis, and Cook. Mike Davis at 5.1 in this spot just felt insanely too cheap for what he was. So I was fine. Mike Davis was in my pool of like my top five running backs I wanted to play. Obviously, so was Saquon. So was CEH. So was Madison. I think all four of those guys were in play. The 2v2 for me that really got me off of Saquon was the Boyd thing. It was Saquon and Boyd plus Bengals D versus Mike Davis, Robert Woods, and Titans D. And really, it just came down to I wanted the three receivers I wanted the most in cash were Godwin, Cup, and Boyd, or Godwin, Cup, and Woods, because LA, I just expected to throw, 50 times in this game. I just thought this was the game environment I wanted to have exposure to in cash. The Bengals, even though Higgins was out, like Bengals just don't want to throw. Burrow's literally threw 18 times in this game. So even if, Boyd leads the team in targets, six targets is not something. Like, I could have easily seen Woods getting 10 here and Cup getting 12, and just wanted exposure to the best game possible. So that was really, it was Mike Davis plus Woods versus Saquon plus Boyd. And Davis, it was like a 25 point 2v2.
Davis was like tertiarily in play. He was our 10th best running back value on DR. And I think honestly, our inputs are a little bit generous to him in terms of yards per carry, market share of rushing touchdowns, market share of receiving touchdowns, because I just don't think he has any touchdown equity because he's not very good. They don't go to him. The issue
is that he's Atlanta's backup running back. So,
well, I mean, he's a running back who gets double digit percent target share, who's effective in the passing game, and who also sees 50%+ of the rushing attempt share. So when you look at those factors of like a running back who gets double digit target share percentage plus 50%+ of the workload from a rushing attempt share, you're looking at like 8 to 10 running backs in the league a week. And one of them is 5K. The rest of them are like 6K and above. So Mike Davis was underpriced for his workload here. There's no doubt about it. It's just a question of like whether or not getting Saquon was the mistake.
I just think not playing Saquon is so bad. Like,
yeah, but it's not because Mike Davis at 5.1 is a bad play. It's because Saquon
I think he's probably a break-even play. He's a break-even play in a vacuum. But considering the context at running back today, that Madison was the number one play, Saquon was the number two play, and CH was the number three play. I literally think anyone who didn't play those three running backs is bad.
Well, screw you, Davis.
It was just obvious, right? Because, I mean, we had Barkley projected straight up for the fourth most points at running back. And I don't think and probably our projections were lower even. Like Cardi, I know Cardi had him for more. We had Derrick Henry for more too, but Derrick Henry was 8,600. I mean, Saquon Barkley is an $8,000 player, and he's 6,500.
Nate, we are both fish. You're a fish for not playing Saquon, and I'm a fish for not playing CEH at 4.8. I mean, I'll take the L, but I'm going to need you to take the L with me, buddy. Come on.
I'm not taking the L on Davis.
Just say it.
I'm not.
Just say
it. I should have gotten Saquon, but I'm not taking the L on Davis. Davis
is not this point. I'm a fish for playing Mike Davis in cash this week. Just say it with me, buddy. Come on.
Barkley is going to play the Saints next week. He's going to be 7,200, and you're going to pay for him next week.
We'll see. I don't know. At 7,200, there's probably a bunch of other running backs who are going to get similar workload in a more efficient offense that I'll take.
He was 6,500. He was 6,500 against the Falcons. Nate.
And there's a million other running backs around that range that I'll look at.
He got 16 carries. His backup was inactive. The second highest carry total on the team was the fullback, Elijah Penny, with two. And he was targeted seven times in the passing game, tied for the team lead.
Led the team in targets.
Is all-time bad for me.
Brutal fade, bro, for Mike Davis.
Mike Davis was 1,400 less. That was the difference between Tyler Boyd, who you didn't like, and KJ Osborne.
Yeah, and I'm not going to take a zero at wide receiver to go from Mike Davis to...
Well, you basically did because you played Sir...
I played
Sir
Robert Woods. That was the most tilting thing of the day, because then when I did realize I need to late swap, there was no other receivers under 5'8 that I could get to.
Did Osborne outscore Robert Woods?
No. I legit was looking at like Van Jefferson and cash.
I mean, here's the thing. Robert Woods was the person that people were pivoting to. They were swapping to Robert Woods. Because they're like, nobody would ever play this guy.
Yeah, the Robert Woods thing was tilt. But no, I mean, I don't know, dude. There's so many running backs that get great usage. I'm not going to like pretend that the Saquon thing should be an $8,000 player.
I mean, I'm not even speaking in hyperbole. Like, Saquon Barkley has been if you averaged all of his DraftKings salaries for his career, he would be an average $8,000 running back. Saquon has been 10K before.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Context was very different at that point too, who he was, the offense that was.
Yeah, he had Eli Manning and he wasn't playing the Falcons.
All right. I mean, there's a million other people who get the same exact usage as him that are going to be like,
to say that there's a million other running backs who are going to get the same usage as 16 carries and seven targets is not true.
Yeah. It's a 20% target share with a 68% rushing attempt share. There are other running backs who get 50%+ of their offensive share entirely. Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Alexander Madison, heck, David Montgomery, Joe Mixon, Najee Harris cost. Half of those guys cost under 7K.
No, they were all more expensive. I'm looking at salaries right now.
Najee literally saw 19 targets.
Big Ben is cookeder than cooked.
Oh my God. Did you see the report on Twitter today where they're like, the Steelers executives have been looking at the film and they're concerned that Big Ben might be done. It's like, bro, when were they looking at film from? Like 2019?
They could have signed Jameis for like $5 million, dude.
Oh my God.
This Najee game was nuts. I mean,
let me tell you, you guys would be playing Deontay Johnson every week with me if Jameis was the quarterback.
It'd be sure.
We'd be paying Claypool, dude.
Dude,
he'd be throwing Claypool. Bombs to Claypool.
Yeah.
The question I have after this morning was when stuff locked, like, should I have looked at Sony Michel more?
That was when we get to single entry stuff. That was who I played in my,
I played a lot of him in tournaments, and then in tournaments I was so behind, I pivoted, cause I had a lot of Mike Davis in tournaments as well. So I pivoted to Fournette pretty much everywhere, just cause he was like the only low owned guy that I thought. And then Sony ended up being like 3% or less owned in all the tournaments that I was like, Sony, we should have expected to step pretty closely into this Darrell Henderson workload at fourth. I mean, 40, what was he? $4,900. Like
49.
Should we have thought of him? Not maybe, obviously Madison, I think is 1A, but like, should we have all thought about Michelle a little bit more after that news came out?
Yeah, but I said no on Michelle because he was never going to get targeted, I don't think.
I mean, he ended up with four targets. I mean, I think
that more than Robert Woods.
You can do it in tournaments, but if you're playing CEH and Barkley,
yeah,
then in Madison, it's like, where do you really?
Yeah, where did he fit? Where did he?
Yeah, and you don't really need the salary leaf at that point. Like, you can do it in tournaments to get unique or whatever.
Nate was one of those people drafting Calvin Ridley over Saquon Barkley at the 12-13 turn in these basketball drafts.
Yes, 1,000%.
Well, I mean, why wouldn't you when you can just pick up Mike Davis coming back in the fourth round? Like, no big deal.
1,000% I was.
So you just don't understand the mechanics of how the game works is what you're saying?
Davis and these running backs that are going to be dead by week seven.
Dude, Mike Davis is literally going to be released before the season.
Like, he's literally going to be released. Like, I just, Nate, I need you to know that he's not going to be a member of the Falcons by like week 13.
This is not going to make it.
It doesn't matter. DFS is a 1 week game. If I'm going to get expected points.
Yeah, dude, but talent matters. $5,100. And Mike Davis doesn't have any of it. Talent matters, dude.
You should have played Sony Michel over Mike Davis, Nate. That was the thing. Yeah.
I probably should have.
I mean, that's what I was going to say. Is I liked Fournette for cash more than I liked Mike Davis.
Well, I mean, I played way too much Fournette in tournaments as a pivot.
What did Fournette do? Did he even?
Dude, he did nothing because Gio and
dude.
And Jones took all over.
I bet the Rams to win the Super Bowl at 13-1 this week because I was like, they're going to beat the Buccaneers. And I bet they're with the Chiefs losing, I bet they're going to be like 8-1.
Yeah, we had the Rams everywhere and like all our stuff. Yeah.
So Davis, this was my first time in cash in probably like 12 weeks that I had to swap like this. Because normally there's enough outs where it's like, I'm kind of thinking I'm still alive where I knew I was dead today.
The swaps
you was made, my swap good?
Well, no, because
what was your swap, Nate?
So I wanted to get off of Cup, Godwin, and Madison because they were going to be the three most owned. The issue was I couldn't get off of Woods because there were no other wide receivers underneath that. So like there were a bunch of other wide receivers I could have gotten up to with Godwin and Cup. So I ended up going with Jefferson over Godwin and going down from Madison to Fournette. So I got off the
you
two.
You did this all wrong. I'm not even being mean, but you were dead and you were playing a guy who was 70% owned.
Yeah, we gotta hear it from the swap master here.
But again,
you should have played anyone but Cup. I'm like, literally, I mean, KJ Osborne is a better value, like for what you needed. Literally any player would have been better than Cup.
But I had four spots left and all four of those spots projected to be over 20% owned in cash games.
So, and the first guy you want to get off of is the guy who's going to be the most owned player. Because if Cup walks out in this game and tweaks his ankle on the first play, your lineup would have gotten there probably. Because you played Justin Jefferson, who got 30.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you just hang on to Bobby Trees because nobody played him.
You're just rooting. What you're swapping is not only your guys getting points, but the guys that the rest of the field is counting on to get points to not get those points.
But there also has to be some sort of rationality to like getting off of Madison for net is already making your lineup like. If you fade all of the best players and just swap onto like nonsense players, like it doesn't work.
In my games where I needed to swap, I swapped off of Cup to Cortland Sutton because I knew without even like, I didn't want to go through and like do all the math for all the games, but I just knew I was like, every single one of these people against me will have Cup. So I'll just take literally any wide receiver who can score a touchdown.
Well, isn't the obvious thing to go from Madison to Sony Michel? And then he did
Fournette, same thing.
Yeah, I did Fournette.
Same thing.
I thought Fournette had more upside.
Yeah, thing. But Sony has more direct leverage off of for the touchdowns for Cup. Yeah.
Exactly. I thought Fournette had more upside though. I mean, in the Tampa Bay offense, if Tampa Bay gets down there,
that's probably negligible, Sammy. Like that's probably like a poker hand where by the river, like 55% of the time you're supposed to fold and 45% of the time you're supposed to call.
Yo, did I miss something? Did Ronald Jones like not play?
I mean, he was ruled as not starting.
I think he got literally two carries.
Dude, that's he got more carries than Fournette. This is a three-headed monster. Like, what do you guys mean Fournette has more upside than Sony Michel?
Fournette still gets targeted. Like, Gio got a crazy targets, and Fournette still got targeted three times. But this also was not the expected game script.
It was not the expected flow. Yeah. I thought after I got off of Madison and then I got from Godwin to Jefferson, like any extra leverage that you have is just like you've already pivoted 40% ownership off of everything else. Like where do you stop? Do you just do all four, just throw everything out and stick them at the wall? Like,
no, I would have just gotten off the chalkiest parts. Like I would have gotten off of Cup.
I would have just not played. I would have started from
DK Metcalf and gone down to Sony Michel and get leverage.
Well, Cup was the cheap. Cup is cheaper than all those.
That's direct leverage off the other two.
Your brain was not used to making these swaps.
But you couldn't get to from Cup to.
But in your spot where you were you were behind the Bengals D.
Yes, you could.
You didn't play Tyler Boyd, and you didn't have Saquon. Like your lineup as it was existing was probably like, I mean, literally probably 0% to cash.
No,
like literally,
here it is. You go from Cup up to just. You go up to Jefferson. Jefferson.
I had Godwin.
You didn't have any wide receivers locked.
I had Godwin, Cup, Woods, and Madison. If I go from Cup up to Jefferson, that's an $800. So then,
right? How do I get that $800? And then you go from Madison down to Sony, which is $1,100.
Yeah.
And you get two different Rams, and you get a different Ram and a different Viking, and it's like direct leverage with big upside players. That was the swap.
I thought the Jefferson leverage off of Madison would be ideal, and then I thought the getting the Fournette
sticking with Cup is just terrible. It's just awful. Like he was literally 75% owned. Like there's just no.
He was also the least likely to bomb of Woods, Cup, and Jefferson.
Godwin. That part doesn't matter. Like when
you're literally just playing frequencies here.
Like when I was making swaps last week, what I ended up swapping to like Hopkins. I don't even remember because it was so bad last week, but I was
and you swapped so many times that it all kind of melts.
I've done it 100 times. Yeah. But like, I just was, whenever I'm swapping, I'm not thinking about like, oh, I need to make sure to try and keep some piece of the original lineup that's least likely to bomb. It's just, no, I just want dudes who can score touchdowns. That's like literally all I want, guys who are under 10% who can score touchdowns. That's like, that's the yardstick.
All right, well let's get to your lineup, Davis. It's about time. You had a good week. We're very happy for you. You know, we're just so pleased after last week that you bounced back.
So I played Lamar, which
we got to talk about the Lamar thing. How many points did Hollywood drop from Lamar? Lamar literally.
I saw our Scott Barrett did the, God bless him. He did the whole expected points calculation. Depending on if you give him credit to getting all the way to the end zone on those points, he left in between 33 and 45 DK points on the field with the drops.
My God, it wasn't even Mark Andrews this week.
No. So Lamar, I played Lamar, Barkley, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Cooper Kupp, Chris Godwin, Tyler Boyd, TJ Hawkinson, and then I left a 6K spot at the flex, which would have obviously was Madison and would have been Cortland Sutton or Robert Woods if Dalvin Cook played, and then I played the Bengals defense. I mean, I didn't swap at all. I set this team on Saturday night and just played it.
Incredible. This is a good team. It's a really good team.
Cards on the table. I did consider the team that Sammy played: Fields, Henry, Osborne versus Lamar, Boyd. I don't even remember what the three, but I for like 5 minutes, I considered the team that Sammy played to avoid playing CH. And then I was like, you know what? I'm not
CH was
weak.
The play. Yeah. Don't get off.
I had like 5 minutes of being scared of playing CH. And then I was like, dude, I worked on this projection all week. The projection's right. Just do it.
Yeah, this honestly looks way better. It really does. I hate to say it, but it looks way better. The 3v3 that you made.
This was Levitan would call this the show me week. Like, show me that you can make the right team.
Me and Nate did not. We showed you that we had gills and we breathed through them.
The Hawkinson thing though, I looked at a Higbee team for a little bit, but the upgrades like it didn't really get you anywhere. Like on this team, on Sammy, on your team, Higbee,
it would have gotten Hawkinson, you somewhere.
It would have got you could have gotten to Daniel Jones and not Osborne, which actually would have been, you probably, if you play Higbee, Daniel Jones, you're fine.
It actually could have gotten me somewhere.
I would still have to play Osborne in that scenario, or I could have gone.
But that doesn't matter. You can eat a four pointer. That's
it. Probably could have got me off of the fourth wide receiver of the Rams, though. I didn't realize that Robert Woods was playing backup to Van Jefferson, so I could have gotten up to a decent wide receiver, maybe.
Well,
Robert,
I mean,
Robert Woods got six targets. I mean, him and Van Jefferson are at least the co wide receiver fours.
Yeah, I'm normally pretty hesitant to like anoint tight ends like their team's number one wide receiver, but like really Hawkinson had been that through the first couple
of
weeks.
And they don't have good wide receivers.
Yeah, and they're in the dome and they're against a team that like they should probably be behind and have to throw a decent amount.
They were trailing literally the entire game. They trailed the whole game.
Yeah, and they gave two targets to Hawkinson. Like, how many did he get? Like, I thought he got hurt or something. I wasn't watching the games. I was traveling today.
I was watching this game because I had Lamar and because I had Hawkinson. So on Sunday Ticket, I kept switching to it, and just every time he would just pass to Khalif Raymond or DeAndre Swift. Just like every
Only that, he wasn't even the most targeted tight end on the
yeah Darren
lines.
Fells.
Darren Fells not only out targeted him, but also had more air yards than him. Hawkinson had two targets. Hawkinson had two targets for eight total air yards on the week. And I played him in cash at like 5K.
I wonder if he blocked a bunch. Like, I wonder if they were trying to keep Goff from getting sacked or something. Like, I wonder if they were blitzing him a ton.
Yeah, why don't you use Darren Fells for that? I mean,
because they would never expect it, dude. The PFF stuff ran. Let me see if
he
grades for this game yet.
I mean, Hawkinson ran 26 routes. He ran one of the second most routes on the team. So it wasn't like he wasn't out there running routes. It was just, he wasn't getting targets.
I think it most likely is just like, just one of those things that just happens. Like, I don't know if there's a ton to learn from it, but it is, we are 3 weeks into the season. And the only one of us who have gotten a touchdown out of our tight ends was Nate in week two, where he got a Noah Fant touchdown.
Yeah.
Impressive. I need to go back to my cheap tight end ways.
You ate a zero from Troutman last week. We all played Kyle Pitts in week one, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So Pitts.
Tight end has not been a good position for me. I need to focus up on this.
So combined, I have through 3 weeks, I have less than 10 DraftKings points for my tight ends because Pitts got like six in week one. Higbee got 1.8 last week and Hawkinson got 2.10.
Truly incredible stuff.
Dude,
So anyways, our usernames are Davis Matic, Whirling Dervish, and Nate N. Send us the invites. You want this smoke.
Yeah, dude.
You want it.
Oh, the other point we need to make, and I don't want to really rake Nate over the coals for this because it's a defense and it doesn't really matter, but the Bengals were one of the most obvious cheap punt defenses of all time. Right,
the Titans
were fine. Right.
Every time defenses literally like this are total coin flips, and if you're on the wrong side of it or the right side of it and you take a victory lap or whatever, defense is the most high like variance position possible, and when you find these cheap
defenses it doesn't feel that high variance watching Ben Roethlisberger play, I'm gonna be honest with you.
It's a sad state of affairs when the Steelers are now like an auto like play your defense against and
like whoever they play next week with Sammy, we're picking them up in our super flex league that we do together.
Dude, if you can't take a victory lap on defense, the Titans were fine.
I just normally know that you like to go with the cheap. I mean, well, actually it's not true. You don't go with the cheapest possible. And you played the Browns for $3,500.
Last week I did. Normally.
How many combined points from your defense in 3 weeks do you have?
You guys both officially owe me an apology on Manny Sanders.
No, he had like six targets and converted two of them into touchdowns.
But that was Diggs and Beasley's.
Well, no, Diggs and Beasley still.
You guys said that he had no upside.
If you want to continue to bet your bankroll on 35-year-old wide receivers when there's
play him next week, Davis.
It's better to play 31-year-old running backs.
Didn't Leone bank 20K playing a Manny Sanders stack this week?
Probably.
Pretty sure he did.
He did.
I bet Leone was on Dave. I bet Leone had a good share of Mike Davis this week, though.
I bet. Funnily enough, Leone and I co-manage a high-stakes dynasty superflex team, and someone just sent us a trade offer trying to give us Mike Davis, and I immediately rejected it. And Leone,
before he could see it,
Leone messaged me like, "Dude, what the fuck? Like, we should have done that trade." It was, but no. So we have. I mean, no one cares about this, but we have three good quarterbacks, and our third is Kirk Cousins, and people want him, and we keep getting these low-ball offers, and it's just dynasty's not very fun. It's really not. All right, let's do.
Should we talk tournaments?
Yeah, let's do it, because I was very tilted by the Chiefs not scoring enough points because I finally got a Mecole Hardman touchdown. I nailed the bring back with Mike Williams, and I had no other flames in my lineup because Mahomes only got 25. I played Mahomes, Sony Michel, Barkley, Madison, Mike Williams, Hardman, Olamide Zaccheaus, Travis Kelce, and the Titans defense.
Oh, you played Zaccheaus. I like that.
I was looking at guys priced next to Osborne because I was like, that's just a good leverage spot.
So let me ask you this. I was listening to your pod with Jordan on the Take Cast this week, and he was kind of talking about how he thinks single entry people play it a little too chalky. And, you know, you should actually go more contrarian in your single entry because the EV of like
getting it right.
Yeah, of getting it right is just so much greater because there's less.
Well, yeah, it's a great example. So, in this lineup, I'm looking at Madison was 20%, which certainly was higher than what he would have been in the Millie Maker or whatever. But Kelce was 8%, Michelle was 3%, Mahomes was 5%. Like the cumulative ownership on this lineup was under 60%. Like that's
man, how is Mahomes and Kelce like?
It happens every week. And unbelievable. At this point, it like looks correct that the Chiefs look terrible. But I mean, this is what we all say every week, like, right. Levitan posted the meme, right. Where it's like, duh, Chiefs go burr. No, you can't play them. It's too obvious. Like, duh, Chiefs go burr. And like, that's what it is. Every week you turn the cards over. Mahomes is 5%. Kelce and Tyreek like max out at like 15%. I've never seen them that high, but that's like as high as they would ever get.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kelce's is getting up there. Tyreek is still pretty suppressed this year, but Kelce, because of the tight end, just premium of, you know, fewer options available, his ownership always
remains. And no Kittle higher on the slate to siphon off the. Nate played Kittle in week one at tight end, actually. Now that I remember.
I actually got points.
Not very many.
More than Pitts.
So what did. Real fast. What was your score in this, Davis?
My score for this lineup was 167. So literally the same amount of points as my cash team. So just it just like when you are playing multiple 3K wide receivers, this is something this is why the Mahomes teams never end up getting that owned, because you're really asking a lot for those guys to get more than like 15. Like Hardman and Zaccheaus both scored and neither of them got over 12. So it's just very tough. And then obviously the Sony play didn't really work out, you know.
It was a good play. You got 20 carries and 4 targets in like a super high scoring game environment.
Yeah.
It's single digit ownership. He was like super low owned and everywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah. My team, I did a Russ double stack with a bring back. My biggest focus in tournaments this week was on cheaper running backs because I thought there was some value there. So I went with Russ, with Sony, with Gibson. Both Sony Michel and Gibson were under 4% owned. And then my double stack was DK Metcalf and Gerald Everett, bringing it back with Osborne. And then I finished it off with Cup, Tyreek, and then the Titans D. So it was... I like to take kind of that barbell approach that we talk about in tournaments when it comes to ownership, of not just like, I have a low mean ownership, but all my players are roughly 8 to 10%, but actually trying to balance it's okay to have some higher owned players when you also have some lower owned players. You can use different statistical metrics to kind of evaluate your lineup through that perspective. So I have like a barbell score type of thing. And this one rated really well in that. And it was, I was able to get Cup, who I was okay with the ownership on. And then Tyreek was the one who, I mean,
yeah, apparently you just have to play Cup great. At any ownership and any price every single week in tournaments. I think that's what I've learned is that
Nate's waiting for the Bobby Trees week.
No, Cup is just still $1,000 underpriced. I mean, now that Cup, I mean, I'm guessing next week Cup's going to be $7,500,
and he's going to be a jam. I'm probably going to lock him. Yeah.
But like, I mean, Cup this week was literally $2,000 less than like Tyreek Hill. That's an insane. There's just, unless his ownership is 70%, there's no reason to fade that if you can find other spots in your lineup to be contrarian. Like, so, but the issue was, I mean, Tyreek, I had him in 75% of lineups and he just bombed.
We have salaries out. Does anyone want to guess what Cooper Kupp's price is next week? 78, more expensive than Hopkins, Diggs, Jefferson, Metcalf, Lockett.
Yeah. So that's where you can consider fading him because there's other guys there, but right now the guys that he was near, there was like, unless your lineup was chalky elsewhere, there was not.
Oh my God, dude, the Eagles and the Chiefs play next week.
What's Tyreek at?
Is he under 8 yet? 8,000. Kelsey is 8,100.
So now Hawkinson
got a price bump. He's 5,800 this week.
Yeah, no thanks.
Because so much of it's depending on ownership. And he was so owned.
Yeah. No. All right. Sammy, what did you run? Who was your bring back with
Osborne?
So one thing I've started trying to do, and I didn't actually end up doing it this week because it didn't make a ton of sense to play Donald Parham, but I've been trying to just do the bring back with like just a disgusting tight end. Obviously this week it would have worked with Conklin, but like it's just kind of one of those things where like, if the game environment goes nuts and there's a tight end that plays 60% of the snaps, and as we've touched on, tight end is so disgusting anyway, like it's just a good spot to do it. I played Luke Farrell in a lineup today, who's a $2,500 Jacksonville Jaguars tight end. Has my
I'm proud of you. Back. I'm that proud of you, my boy.
That one did not work.
Well, next time.
All right. What'd you run, Sammy?
I ran a Ravens stack. So I ran Lamar single stacked with Marquise Brown.
Oh,
I
think Hollywood just fucked you good.
Yeah. It's very, very, very sore today, the old backside. And I brought it back with DeAndre Swift. So the thesis behind
those are all good plays, I think.
Yeah, kind of the thesis was that Lamar is one of the few guys in tournaments like this that can be single stacked. And then Hawkinson was going to be really chalky, and so I wanted to use one of my running back spots on Swift, and he's been seeing a massive target share, and he did indeed. My other running back was Jonathan Taylor. And once Nyheim Hines cucked him for a 9-yard rushing touchdown early in the game, I knew that was dead. So tough scene. I like Taylor even before I heard Marlon Mack was out, but didn't end up working. Then I did with my other receivers, I did a Metcalf and Osborne mini correlation. Obviously just Metcalf is a huge smash, but I wanted receivers that could go back and forth in that game. I used Higbee at tight end to leverage off of the other Rams guys like Cooper Kupp. I went with Sutton in the flex over Madison. I think I could have just ended up going up with Madison there, but yeah. And then I did a Browns defense and that worked out quite well. So decent team, but did not do anything great. Cause Marquise Brown,
we got to get some bonks to the people, dude.
I know. I mean, I'll be honest, like maybe I'm a fish, but I think these were all like pretty well-constructed lineups.
Yeah, I think the context of this week, actually, my team was not that good. I think playing 2-3K wide receivers is when one of them is not a lock. Now, you know, like some weeks we have, you know, week one, we had all those 3K wide receivers. We thought we're going to do great.
Yeah.
But playing Hardman with Mahomes is fine, but I think just like randomly tossing in Zacchaeus because he was leveraged off of Osborne's price point was probably stupid because I just don't think he can ever really get 20. Like he even had the best spot, like he scored, and it just would not have been enough.
Yeah, the only time I think 3K wide receivers like that where your ceiling is lower is okay is if it's part of a correlation play, like if it's part of the bring back or if it's part of the stack itself. But yeah, if they're just a standalone, like it's most of the time, I think that's not great.
Yeah.
But there were a lot of plays in cash that I was shocked about their ownership this week. And I just wanted to ask you guys, were you guys shocked? Rondale Moore was over like 15% in some contests, and so was Tyson Williams. Did you guys think any of those guys were cash plays?
No.
Tyson Williams was the third owned or maybe fourth owned running back in the $5 double up.
What? Is that true?
That's why we still are able to make money despite being complete idiots.
Jesus Christ. No, never. No, obviously not Tyson, because I mean, for obvious reasons, like he's in a three-headed committee and, you know,
four-headed really.
Yeah. Lamar. With Lamar, and yeah, his goal line work is like totally up in the air. And, who's the other guy?
So Rondale Moore was also 13% owned. He was the,
I'm less shocked by that because obviously he just had a great game and he was right next in price point to Boyd. So I could see how that would work from a roster construction perspective, but I did not consider him for a second.
No, because I mean, at some point you have to be on the field. Like if you're going to be a cash receiver, you need to be on the field the majority of the time. And he still isn't doing that. So like,
I wonder how many snaps he played today. I wonder if because AJ Green had a good game actually.
Yeah. AJ Green, not dust. Is that a thing?
And well, I think Hopkins is hurt. I mean, we know he's hurt, but I think he's actually hurt to the point where it's limiting his effectiveness.
Right.
Rondale's usage was not great in this game. It was 33% of the snap share and 37% of the routes.
Did you guys see the play, his carry though?
No, I watched no football today, bro.
It was unbelievable. So like he comes around on the jet sweep and ran like a fake option with Chase Edmonds, like faked the pitch to him coming. It was really cool. I mean, he didn't score, but it was really cool. So Cliff is leading the league in plays that look really cool that go for 2.5 yards and no points.
let me just ask this: did the play go horizontal? Did it go directly?
Oh, like 90% of the action was horizontal. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I just thought it was nuts to see. Around,
but he didn't actually go forward toward the end zone.
I mean, Tyson was literally the fifth owned running back in the $5 double up.
Chase Edmonds got 8 targets today, and James Conner did score 2 rushing touchdowns. But Chase Edmonds got a carry at the goal line for the first time ever. He got a carry from the 3.
Chase Edmonds is the one you want.
Well, it's, I mean, that's obvious, but it's more like he's actually playable in tournaments now. If you occasionally think he can score a goal line rushing touchdown.
Or if you think that Kyler Murray can throw a touchdown to him and then you just get the super lit Kyler.
Yeah. Eventually they're going to stop giving Connor workload. I mean, his explosiveness compared to Edmonds is just brutal.
He is the guy who looks the worst in the single digit jersey. Like, and everyone else looks good in it, but he like looks terrible. I think he's number two. He looks awful.
Chase makes him look fat.
Like the 6 makes him look fat.
And Lenny does not look great in the 7.
In 7 or whatever. Yeah, it's bad. I was tilting that. Some of these single digit guys though, it's
how is Fournette? How does he not choose number 4?
Because he was number 7 in college.
Yeah, that's weak.
Yeah.
Don't talk to me about Fournette. I was so tilted watching Geo 25 come out for 80% of the snaps.
You need to be tilted about yourself. How is Fournette like a play at all? How is any Tampa Bay running back a play any week ever? I don't understand.
Well, Geo and Rojo haven't existed.
They don't have an existence, and the run, he was 5K, and the team total and just that overall off like that game environment, like – If Lenny scored 2 touchdowns here at 5% ownership at 5K, would you have been shocked? In tournaments, he has to be consideration.
I'm not going to do that. No.
Well, I'm not going to consider it.
Then you're not considering the field.
No. It's not it.
It's just like because now we know if they get into a foxhole situation, it's all Geo.
It's all Geo. Yeah, I would say now. Yeah, you're right. But going into this game, we had not seen this.
No,
I liked
Fournette from Geo this week, which I like very rarely do.
Yeah, you guys are
fish. Let's look at some of the prices for next week, and then we can get out of here. is okay. Nate, Saquon Barkley, 6,700 against the Saints.
Oh, buddy.
Probably not. Probably not. I don't think
Mike Davis is 5,100 again.
Probably not.
Cordero got a ton of usage. This is going to be a true test. Will Nate double down?
Oh my God. Cordero got a ton of usage. Clyde is only 5,400.
Oh, Clyde's a lock. Clyde's a lock. There's no reason to look at
5,400 is not 4,800.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, I don't think I'm looking at Saquon.
When's the last time Clyde Edwards-Helaire hit the bonus? Was it that game against the Bills last year where they gave him like 26 or 28 rushes?
I can tell you.
Sammy, it doesn't matter. Individual like ceiling type stuff like this over a 16 game sample does not matter. The fact of the matter is you have a running back who's on the field for like 80% of the snaps in one of the most efficient offenses we've ever seen who continues to get touches. Period. That's what it is.
He was a good play. Now I'm just tilting that I didn't play him because I played Fat Derrick Henry, who got the same number of points.
You are correct. His last 100-yard game, 26 carries, 161 yards against the Bills, who did the same thing the Chargers did and just dared them to run in that game.
I just think people who use metrics like that are the people who like fade Lamar for 8 weeks after he has proven to be somebody different than he was. Like, I don't know.
I mean, Lamar, like, let's not act like we, like, invented sliced bread playing Lamar. Like, he was...
No, I'm saying people who use metrics, like, when does this type of player have this ceiling? Like, are the people who are 8 weeks late on Lamar in 2019 when he's very clearly, like, somebody different than he was?
DFS was easy then, but how easy was DFS when we used to just play DJ and Le'Veon every week and people wouldn't
and were like, do you remember the David Johnson days? Man. David Johnson, when he would get like eight targets and it was just like,
and they would just, you just start out. We called him, people say this now. Do you know that people say like team jam them in and like, we like invented that.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, you're talking about like show me slates, like those were just show me seasons.
Yeah. Like show me, you could just jam these two dudes every week.
All right. And, interesting.
And they weren't.
All right. Interesting one. Chuba Hubbard. At Dallas for 5.9.
I think initial, that's a pass. I think that's a pass.
It's pretty expensive.
He like it, this is not a Madison situation. Like Madison, I had zero qualms about. Like I was like, yeah, they're just gonna load him up. But I think they'll play a little bit of Royce Freeman, and Hubbard just did not like look that good to me, and was bad his final year at Oklahoma State too.
I will play that at the Dallas game environment. Yeah, I'll be there. 5.9 for a running back who's going to see 70%. Yeah.
I think the better play might be DJ Moore at 6,600. I think I might rather play him.
I mean, DJ Moore is Panthers guy. He's just good. Is the thing. Shoot.
Dude, I've been struggling with running backs this year. I don't like the
Mike
running
Davis
back position.
Two out of the 3 weeks.
No, I don't. I think this is
no
my
wonder
first week
you've
playing
been
him.
Struggling, dude.
Wait, no, this is my first week playing him. You played him last week, Davis.
All right, here's a brain pretzel. Jonathan Taylor, 6.3K at Miami.
No.
See, that's dude, one where JT. That's one where I'm tempted.
Yeah, well, JT. I'll go back in tournaments, but I don't think you can play him in cash.
Do you remember last year, Sammy, the first big blow up JT week, he got like 28, and you and I played him, and Nate didn't.
And Nate
like,
didn't. God, that
Nate
was so
like,
good.
You guys are idiots, bro.
Because you guys played him for like 6 weeks in a row, thinking he was somebody he wasn't, hoping he one day would be. And then you got 1 week out of him after losing for six straight weeks.
He was, he smashed last week. Last year.
For the last like four weeks, but you guys played him 6 weeks in advance every week. And Nyheim Hines continued to see eight targets again.
Actually, I know the exact game we played him in. We played him against the Jets, and he was horrible, but he scored a touchdown.
Listen to the tape. You guys played him way too often. You guys played him way too often last year.
That's also probably true, but I do.
You guys lost money on him.
I specifically remember he came in that Minnesota game where Marlon Mack tore his Achilles and smash in that game. And then we played him the next week and he scored a touchdown. And you're like, you guys are such fish. He scores a touchdown and bails you out. Love to see it.
Love it. Yeah. CeeDee Lamb's only 6.7. He'll probably smash tomorrow night.
Just a stone lock. Okay. Yeah. If Daryl Henderson misses again, Sony is 5,200 home to the Cardinals.
I think we're playing. Yes.
Yeah. Yes. I play him before Mike Davis for sure.
You're already off of Saquon Davis. You're not playing Saquon next week in cash.
Yeah, it's a different. I will say if Cook misses again, I will load up on Madison at 6,600. I'll be all in.
Yeah, they used him a ton in the passing game. That was
fun. He got 25 points without a touchdown.
Yeah.
I did not expect that passing game workload from him. He saw.
But he'd always kind of done it, but they always had Mike Boone and Amir Abdullah that they would play. And in this game, they just were like, nah, no Abdullah.
He saw seven targets. He literally matched Adam Thielen in targets.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really, really impressive. I mean, Dalvin gets a lot of targets. So I think they literally just put him in the Dalvin Cook role, and he's Dalvin Cook.
Who is possibly, you know, Higbee's just going to be chalk at tight end again next week, 4,600.
I mean, whoever it is, like, I'm going to screw it up. Like, tight end is.
Yeah.
Wait, let's play a game. Who's Sammy going to play a tight end next week?
You might play Troutman. He's 2,900.
Ooh, that's looking good.
Jeff Swaim has played like 70% of the snaps and has six targets the last 2 weeks. I can see playing him.
Who's Miami play next week? I want to play Gesicki.
You know who it's going to be? It's probably going to be Freiermuth.
They play the Colts.
I'll probably play Freiermuth.
I'm playing Gesicki.
Doesn't he play like 30% of the snaps?
Freiermuth? But his snap rate's going up every week.
Yeah. No, Gesicki. Yeah. Doesn't Gesicki like barely play?
No, that was week one. He's been back on the field more.
Yeah, you're missing it. Gesicki was like had the best usage of any tight end this weekend.
Well, I'm probably just not playing anyone in the Jacoby Brissett offense to be 100.
Gesicki ran 42 routes and had 12 targets and led all tight ends in.
How many YPA for Brissett today? Like 4.5.
Okay. Davis, when you get a tight end who's going to be underpriced for 12 targets, Gesicki's good. Bet on talent, Davis. It's sometimes more of a feel game.
Peyton Barber had 23 receptions and 5 targets today.
Never going to play Peyton Barber.
He had 111 rushing yards and a rushing touchdown. This is more touches than Josh Jacobs will ever get in a game for his whole career.
Yeah, we should end this show. The quality of the analysis has just been.
That is correct.
I just could not believe that Peyton Barber.
I'll just tell one story before we go. I wake up in my hotel this morning and I'm like looking through my lineups, doing a run through before we leave for the airport. And I see, and I want to pick somebody up on a team. So I go to this team and I look at it and I see like, who should I drop? And so I'm about to drop Peyton Barber. I'm like, oh, this guy sucks. And then I like go and look at some projections and he actually projected better than the guy who I had in. So instead of dropping him, I put in my starting lineup. And this is the one smart thing I did all day.
So you own the libs.
Yeah. Own the libs.
Better to be lucky than good, Sammy.
I followed the math, bro. I followed the math. Should have done it with CEH.
Yep. Should have done it. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.